She was the definition of Hollywood glamour in the golden age of cinema. Debbie Reynolds, whose career spanned generations, died at the age of 84. It's a tragic Hollywood ending for the gifted actress with a mile-wide smile, passing just one day after her beloved daughter, Carrie Fisher, died of a heart attack. Debbie's son, Todd Fisher, telling ABC News, his mother was under stress over the death of her only daughter, missing her terribly, suddenly falling ill at her Los Angeles home.
Shares in the Japanese tech giant Toshiba have suffered a big fall for the third day in a row. They were down more than 17% in afternoon trading, meaning that they've lost more than 40% of their value this week. It's all because the company says its U.S. nuclear business is worth several billion dollars less than it previously thought.
So we have a combination of Sprint for 5,000 jobs, and that's coming from all over the world, and they're coming back into the United States, which is a nice change. And also OneWeb, 3,000 jobs. That's a new company.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning, 5:08. It is Thursday, December the 29th. I'm Mark Harmon in for Steve Grzanich, who does have the week off. Dave Plyer has been doing a great job on The Opening Bell, and I will be here today getting you through as we get you ready for Pete McMurray in the morning coming up at 6 in for Steve Cochran. Of course, I'll be sitting with Pete doing the sports this morning alongside Andrea Darlis as well. We've got an Associated Bank Thought Leader interview coming up. Steve actually sat down with a vice chairman and former head of commercial real estate at the Associated Bank to talk about predictions for the economy in 2017. We'll do that in about 2 minutes, but let's get you your opening numbers, the Associated Bank Market Desk, as we take a look at what's going on in the world. The Dow futures right now are down 2 points, off 1%, 19,773. S&P futures ticking a drop up 0.6%, 0.06%, I should say, up a point, 1.25, 22,000. 22.46.50. NASDAQ futures 4923.25, down 1%, a half a point. Oil is ticking down as well, 0.16 down, 53.90. And the U.S. 10-year yield 2.475%, just a tick down as well. As we look over and into Europe, indices are trading down right now about, call it roughly 1%, very minimal movement here as the holiday is keeping things quiet, although yesterday we had a big down day in the market as well. Commodities, as we're looking at energy, natural gas right now is down a little bit as well, along with oil that tends to go that way. Gold is ticking up at 1147.8, silver up as well, 16.2, up 0.16 as well. Agriculture futures, wheat ticking up, soybean is up, so is corn, sugar, coffee, cotton, rice, and cocoa heading the other way on the way down. Let's get into our interview with Steve Grzanich, who sat down once again with Breck Hansen, the vice chairman and former head of commercial real estate at the Associated Bank. We're going to hear about the predictions for the economy in 2017.
Brett, good to see you. Good to have you back with us here on The Opening Bell. And we're going to talk a little bit about predictions. And I think the biggest prediction there might be out there is whether the Cubs are going to win another World Series. I know you were at Game 7. Is that on your prediction list for 2017, another World Series?
Steve, I predicted the Cubs are going to win the World Series for the last 60 years. And I'm 1 for 60, so let's be 2 for 61.
So let's talk a little bit about predictions for the economy coming up in 2017. I know you have your ear to the ground on a lot of things. What would be the biggest thing that you think is coming for 2017 that people may or may not be prepared for?
Well, if you have listened to any TV, radio commentary following this election, it appears there's going to be a lot of big things coming. And I think, you know, one of them certainly is an interest rate increase, which at the bank and economists have projected probably every year for the last 6 or 7 years. And it, you know, it hasn't happened well. Most recently, it has happened in the last Fed meeting. And it appears that next year it's going to happen probably 2 or 3 more times. I think most people that predict, say, maybe three total, including the 25 basis points that the Fed just moved rates. If Trump can really generate some activity in this economy through infrastructure, through tax reform, through regulatory reform, we might see that interest inflation move and that interest rate move up maybe 50, 75 basis points next year.
Good morning. I'm Mark Carmen, and for Steve Grzanich, this is the opening bell. We're going to have part two of our interview with Associated Bank Thought Leader Breck Hansen, the vice chairman and former head of commercial real estate at the Associated Bank. That's coming up in a moment. We're also going to get your money in a second. Let's give you a little headlines from yesterday. U.S. stocks fell in low volume yesterday. It was a broad decline triggered in part by a drop in home resales. Contracts to buy previously owned U.S. homes fell in November to their lowest level nearly a year. That's a sign, perhaps, that rising interest rates could be weighing on the housing market. Everybody, of course, waiting to see the Dow hit 20,000. That did not happen yesterday. It was down as much as 113 points, the second triple-digit loss since the U.S. election. 0.56% lower on the day, 19,833.68. And as we look at the numbers early this morning, a slower open is expected, but nothing significant, as trading will be light once again in the holiday week. Let's take time now for Your Money.
Hey, it's Your Money. You move into a new home, but your furniture doesn't make it with you because the movers want more money. It happens more often than you think. New Jersey's Director of Consumer Affairs, Steve Lee, says it's because too many companies aren't licensed.
You're pretty much just taking your chances with all of your personal possessions.
Before you contract with a company, check with the Better Business Bureau to see if it's licensed. Get a binding agreement in writing, and don't allow any movers to pack your jewelry or important documents.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
People say that we probably should have already been there at those levels in the past, that we've moved too slow with interest rates going up. Give us a sense of what that would mean for banks like Associated Bank, for consumers, if we saw those increases over the year.
Well, there's still a lot of people on floating rate debt, meaning that when interest rates move, your mortgage payment or your equity line on your home loan or your home mortgage, actually your monthly payment goes up. So what happens when monthly payments go up? Banks experience more defaults. And, you know, a 25 basis point change isn't that great, but when you get, think about your own mortgage, when you get to paying an extra 75 to 100 basis points extra, that's money out of your monthly check. And so, you know, we'll start to watch that. I think we'll also see that people will begin to anticipate this interest rate increase and probably try to lock in some of this floating rate debt that they've played what I would call an arbitrage for years, paying floating rate debt while it didn't go up and not fixing, and now they may convert that floating rate debt to fixed rate debt or conventional mortgages.
We've heard a lot of discussion recent days about charge-offs. For our listeners who may not be up on all of the terminology and know this very well, give us a sense of what charge-offs are. And is $30 billion a lot?
Well, banks actually hit their income statement with two entries. One is provision, which is basically an insurance policy that's unallocated that we put into our income statement, that we actually reduce our earnings by that amount and take that provision for a rainy day. And then a charge-off is when we've actually identified a situation where we see a loan that we anticipate won't be collected or won't be fully collected. And those charge-offs have become plentiful, but with interest rates going up, especially with consumer debt, probably will become more plentiful.
Yeah, because experts are saying that on the flip side of that equation are the consumers, and that we're seeing more of that consumer debt being defaulted on. Is that a trend that might continue next year?
I mean, when interest rates go up, all that does is fuel the opportunity to do that. Now, the offset to that may be if we lower taxes, mm-hmm. That's helpful in terms of your monthly cash flow. If the economy really does get fueled in the way that Mr. Trump would like to do it or President Trump would like to do it, you're going to have people, more people working and more people with higher salaries that would or income that could possibly carry that. And, you know, time will tell.
The other part of that, too, is pay. We might see pay increase over the coming year because a lot of folks are concerned that that difference between what people are earning is not going up as fast as it should. That would be another area.
Well, I think it's and you know, since the downturn or the recession, whatever you want to call, happened in 2008, 2009, there's a lot of folks who haven't had pay raises at all. And so with inflation and with interest rate moving up, I think we will begin to see, you know, hopefully we will begin to see earnings move up with deregulation and things like that. And with that comes pay. So, you know, that's the plan.
Yeah.
We'll see.
The other prediction, and again, we're kind of going off some of the predictions of just experts that we've trolled the internet for, some of the big named experts. Unemployment, they say, is going to stay around 5%. Do you think it might actually even get better than that?
I saw something in the last couple of days, 4.75. But, I mean, I think if you're a Republican or a Democrat or somewhere on the fence, that 4.5%, 5% number is pretty attractive considering what we've been through. I'm comfortable with that and encouraged. It's nice for an administration to take over in a situation like they are now with relatively low unemployment.
And still hearing from employers that they're having a hard time filling some positions.
There are positions that we do have. I mean, at the bank at any one time, I think, you know, there's not tens but probably hundreds of positions that aren't filled. And that has to do with skill sets and quality and things like that.
The other prediction, too, is that our GDP, the gross domestic product, is not going to go very far. Some predictions say maybe 1.7. Others say 2.1. Both of those are anemic is a good way to describe them.
Well, and from all I've read, and you're just getting a regurgitation of what I read, that 1.7, 1.9, 2.1 is what most of the experts say. And yet, if you recall, during the election, President-elect Trump suggested a 4% number. And 2017, I would guess, is a little bit early to hit that kind of pace. So, you know, that anemic number of 2.1 is probably there. I understand, though, that the second half of 2016, which we're just finishing up, looks like it's going to be in the 3 to 3.2% range. So we've made some improvements.
A couple of the people that we were quoting on predictions there say auto sales may surpass 17 million for a third straight year in 2017. Home sales could rise to 6 million. Those are existing home sales. So those are good numbers.
Real good numbers. Yeah. Now, the one thing that, as you talk about consumer debt, that probably won't happen while interest rates go up, and it makes perfect sense, is the refinance market is probably going to be cut in half because the ability to come in and, you know, people refinance because they get a lower rate than they had before. Well, if rates are going up, that's not going to happen. So the banks that have relied heavily on reaching out to people to refinance their mortgages won't have that opportunity.
So, Breck, what would be your personal New Year's resolution for 2017?
Oh, boy.
Put you on the spot.
You know, we're right in the middle of a conversation like this. I think that I'd like to look at this new administration and not high-five too soon and not get too negative, because if we make a lot of decisions really quickly, we're going to make some mistakes and hope that we can correct those. So I think my resolution would be just to be patient and give the new administration some time.
Health and happiness as well thrown in there to you and your family as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We'll see you after the new year.
I'm hoping so.
Thank you very much to the vice chairman and former head of commercial real estate at the Associated Bank, as Steve Grzander sitting down with Breck Hansen talking about the predictions for the economy in 2017. One of the big stories yesterday was that President-elect Donald Trump claiming victory with Sprint, bringing back 5,000 jobs to the U.S., and Trump being quoted saying they're taking them from other countries. They're bringing them back to the United States, and Sprint did confirm in a statement saying they would create or bring back to America 5,000 jobs, mostly in customer care and sales.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, Alexa, who killed that guy? Amazon's Echo Assistant can do a lot of things.
Alexa, what's the weather like today?
There's a 100% chance of showers.
She can even order you a pizza hands-free.
Alexa, ask Domino's to send me my last order.
Okay, order placed.
But Amazon says Alexa cannot be called to testify against you in a court of law.
Alexa, lights off.
Okay.
The company is rejecting a search warrant request issued by an Arkansas judge for the voice recordings of an Echo owner accused of killing another man in his hot tub. Prosecutors want to know if the Echo device recorded any incriminating words the night of the murder. But Amazon says it won't release customer information in an overbroad or inappropriate demand. The reason? Echo doesn't record anything until you say the wake word Alexa. So unless the suspect said something like, Alexa, I'm about to commit murder, it's unlikely to have recorded anything that could result in a conviction. With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's been an absolutely crazy holiday season with people buying everything online. Amazon doing record numbers. Going to talk to John Hamer, who's the founder and CEO of Spend Management Experts. In a matter of moments, my name is Mark Harmon. I am in for Steve Grzanich. This is The Opening Bell. Good morning, 5:37. It's Thursday, December the 29th. Taking a look at some numbers. The Dow futures down 0.03%, 19,769. S&P futures are ticking up 0.03, 2246. NASDAQ futures down 0.02, 4923. And oil trending down 0.46, 53.81. The U.S. 10-year yield is down 0.02 at 2.482% as people continue to figure out where to put their money. Let's talk to John Haber. He's got over 20 years of transportation spend management experience. John has helped some of the world's leading brands drive greater efficiencies through their supply chain operations while also reducing transportation costs. I started my conversation with John talking about how companies are offering free shipping all over the place now, and how do they make that model work where, in theory, they're giving you the shipping for free, but yet there's a ton of cost around that, John explains.
A lot of shipping.
And so basically every retail outlet right now offers shipping, free shipping. You know, you can go to pretty much Crate and Barrel or anyone out there, and they're going to say that they'll ship it to you for free. How does that business model work?
Well, that's a misnomer. There's no such thing as free shipping. It just depends on how much the retailer wants to subsidize it for the customer. And Amazon has built in an expectation that shipping is free, so the consumer expects free shipping.
Interesting. So Amazon's changing the market.
Amazon is changing the paradigm. They're creating a market where only a few select can compete because they have so much capital and they can subsidize areas where they're not making money, in my opinion, that reduces competition.
Okay. So they're saying, in essence, in a lot of their deals, we'll take your product. We might not make a whole lot on it, but we're limiting people's ability to compete. Am I hearing that right?
They've got so much cash that they're diving into businesses across all industries. I just did a strategy call on Amazon Business on Tuesday, and they're entering the office products market, competing against Staples and mass distributors. You've got Amazon Cloud competing in the IT area. You've got, obviously, Amazon Apparel. Amazon, their core business, their logistics business is now going to be competing against 3PLs and transportation carriers, so they've got their hands in everything, and they've just got so much cash and backing that they can dive into a lot of different areas and test the market and see if it's profitable. If it's not, then they move into a different area, but it's a luxury that they're afforded because they have so much financial infrastructure.
CEO John Hamer, spend management's experts here with us here on 720 WGN. From where Amazon started to where they are now, if somebody asked you, John, why is that company so successful? How do they build it to the level that they're at now? What would you say?
They invest in their people. They hire the smartest people, and that's what it boils down to. You know, the smarter people you can invest in, and they have a discipline and they have a mission, and it's almost unparalleled in the marketplace right now.
I mean, Amazon at its start was what?
They were a bookseller.
That's unbelievable.
It's amazing. It's really amazing.
So they basically got in the market, we're going to get you books cheaper than you can get them at Barnes & Noble. We'll ship them right to you. And then they realized they could do that with basically everything else?
Pretty much. I mean, if you look back on the history, yeah, they got in the market competing against Barnes & Noble and Borders, and the Borders went out of business. And Barnes & Noble has made it through, but they've had to morph into more of a – you're not just providing books these days. They're doing a lot more. But, yeah, that's exactly how they got into the market. They figured out that e-commerce was going to be an area of exploding growth, which this retail season has proven, especially on the m-commerce side with the mobile commerce. The transactions that are going on in e-commerce are just changing the way that retail business is done.
I'm an expert in m-commerce, John, as I struggle to say it. But for those who don't exactly understand m-commerce, how would you explain that?
It's basically ordering, making a purchase off of a tablet or a device at your hands. And it looks like about a third of the online purchases this holiday season are going to be made via m-commerce. It's the fastest growing area of retail sales. Expected to grow about 40% year over year. I'm sure you know those stats.
I do.
Because you're an expert in e-commerce.
Thank you, John.
People have phones in their hands or tablets in their hands at all times of the day. And if you're, you know, people are getting more and more comfortable with just making that purchase at their fingertips. And I think that's the direction we're moving.
I mean, I don't think you're necessarily a security expert, but maybe you are. I think some people out there look at, if I order this on my phone and put my credit card on my phone, somebody is going to find this out and they're going to steal from me. What do you tell people that say something like that?
I think it's a legitimate concern in different geographies. For instance, in India, people are very leery of putting their secure credit card information on their phone, but it's on your computer. And it may be on your phone, and you don't even know it. So I think it's just a fact of reality, and it just has to be – it's a concern. Security is obviously a concern. It's not to be taken lightly. But I just think it's a reality. I think that, to not purchase – make a purchase on your phone because you're worried about the security of your phone. Well, there's a lot of other important information on your phone. I mean, my entire address book is on my phone. So we just need to make sure the technology we have to safeguard our information is there. But I think it's just a reality. You need to get over it.
Fair enough. Are we going to have drone drop-offs in the future? Is some mechanical device going to show up at my door and just drop off my shoes?
Absolutely. I was just reading about drone deliveries during the holiday season. It's a race to the finish line as far as drone delivery is. Everyone's getting into the game, even non-traditional transportation companies, like 7-Eleven, are getting into the drone delivery game. I just read where 7-Eleven and Flirty have done 77 drone deliveries. So it's coming soon. It just needs to, there needs to be some regulation and further definition of how drones can operate. And we'll see that very soon.
So I'm going to walk into my three-flat apartment complex. I'm going to have my key. I'm going to be opening the door, and I'm going to get hit on the head by some drone.
Well, I don't want to make – I don't want to be an alarmist here. but it's complicated. It's going to be kind of like the Jetsons when you see drones flying all over the place. But, yeah, I think that drones are going to be making deliveries along with autonomous trucks. You're going to be seeing trucks driving the road with no driver there. So the world of technology is evolving quickly.
So when people say that they're trying to eliminate humans so all the rich can just have robots going around and they can have all the money, I don't know, this fear is rushing into me here, John. Am I wrong to feel that? Because I guess somebody's got to operate these things. But if the truck's going to drive itself, what's going to happen to the truck drivers?
Well, that's a legitimate concern, but the reality is that U.S. productivity has been lacking compared to the rest of the world. And in order to make the economy better, it's my belief that we need to have these technological developments. And if companies become more profitable by replacing drivers with technology, they'll have more money, and I'm sure that they'll find different ways to invest that money and grow the economy. So I'm all for technology. I hate to see people put out of jobs, but I think it's for the better of the country.
CEO John Haber, spend management experts. John, as you move on through your holiday and we let you go here, what's your last bit of advice to the consumer out there on how to maximize their opportunities?
My advice to the consumer is to do your due diligence, price things out, look at the competition, look at the total landed cost. Don't just look at the purchase price. Make sure you factor in the shipping when you're comparing items. And then look at the returns policy, because if the weeks after Christmas are going to be huge returns weeks where some retailers experience almost 30% returns. Look at that returns policy and see if you have free shipping returns. That can make a big difference in the purchase price as well.
And, of course, you are returning stuff right now. Thank you to John Haber, the founder and CEO of Spend Management Experts, as our world continues to change in ways that perhaps we never thought that they would.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Indeed, it is The Opening Bell. I'm Mark Carmen in for Steve Grzanich this morning. Good morning, 5:52. We'll talk to Orion Samuelson in a matter of moments. Get the latest on commodities and agriculture. The Dow futures this morning are pointing slightly down, 0.05%, 9 points down, 19,766. The S&P futures ticking a drop up, 0.01%, 2245.50. And the NASDAQ futures pointing a tick down, 0.04% at 4922. Now for the latest on commodities and agriculture, good morning to Orion Samuelson. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. As we look at yesterday's trading day, there's no question that we are in the final trading day of the year. That means some squaring up of positions. And as one trader said, we are in the final three trading sessions of the year, and that leads to some exaggerated moves in the markets in both directions. So let's look at the grain market yesterday. Gave back some of the gains that we had the day before. March corn futures down 6¾ cents, March wheat down 8 cents, and March soybeans dropped 7¾ cents, still holding above $10. But one trader said on wheat there are also no major factors visible today that would sustain the large upward price move we saw on Tuesday. Pretty much the same story in livestock futures at the Mercantile Exchange as well. December cattle futures, which will expire on Friday, ended the day higher, up $1.02, and most actively traded February ended up $1.37. And in live hog futures trade yesterday, the traders there sold deferred months and bought February futures. That put February hogs up 35 cents a hundredweight, but April hogs ended down 70 cents a hundredweight. So two more trading days of the week and the year before we bring things to a close. Starting early in the new year on next Tuesday, January 3rd, members of the Farm Foundation will come together in Irvine, California for their annual roundtable event. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Orion. Now for the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for the 29th of December 2016. Hard to believe we are almost heading into 2017. Busy day, slightly on the market with a lot of stuff going on today. Let's give you the lineup, so to speak. We're going to have the International Trades and Goods. That's at 7:30 this morning. Jobless claims are at 7:30 this morning. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index comes out at 8:45 this morning. The EIA Natural Gas Report is at 9:30. Also, we have the four-week bill announcement at 10. The three-month bill announcement comes at 10 as well. Let's see here. Also, the 52-week bill announcement is at 10 this morning. The seven-year note is at noon, and farm prices will come out at 2 in the afternoon. The Fed balance sheet also coming out at 3:30 this afternoon.